Name. It's a blessing to be here and worship with the saints and sing together those songs as I was thinking about how will the world see Jesus unless they see us as reflecting him or having him in our hearts and they see Jesus in many ways as we live our lives and express godly attitudes. You can open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, and the message title is Only God Knows Her Name. We have a little story of a little maid that I want to draw some truths from. But this story is a very interesting story. It's also about a proud military leader with much dreaded illness. His name is Naaman. Also a humble Jewish girl taken captive by the Syrian army, working in her master's house. It's also a trip back to the very people they would raid and ask for healing. It's also a story of a distraught king rending his clothing in dismay, thinking there's some conspiracy. It's also a story about a faithful prophet looking for an opportunity to display the power of God and his goodness. It's also a story about a proud man actually pausing to listen to what his servants had to say. It's a story about a man receiving healing by following direction that from a natural sense made no sense at all. It's a story about a prophet that refuses earthly reward for faithful service. It's a story about an army general desiring to worship the only true God. It's also a sad story of a faithful servant giving in to greed and dishonesty and reaping the consequences. Now, there's a lot of different avenues that we could go with this story, this chapter. But I want to take the time to read this story. But I want to focus mainly on the little maid that we don't know her name. Only this morning God knows her name, but her name was Little Maid. Let's read this story at this time. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, a captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of the Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive? That this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abaniah and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not, then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be some to me from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, be content. Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no hit whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and a time to receive garments and of olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. A lot of content in that story. We could go a lot of different ways. But I want to, out of the 27 verses of this chapter, there's a verse 3. It says, and she said unto her master, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. This morning we don't know this little maid's name, but we need to know something else that she had. She had a spirit and a character that I want to bring out as we look at this little story that I believe is very important for us today. One point that I want to bring out here in the beginning is that God wants to use everybody. Everybody that has the godly character that did, like this little maid, she was usable wherever she was. I mean, just picture her being taken from her family, and she was in this Syrian country and with the Syrian people, but she was still usable. And God wants to use everybody this morning, and it's not so much that if God is using you, it's being usable material for God. And that's what we have from this little maid. By her expressing her attitude here in verse 3, she definitely was being available and usable for God to display his power and his grace. Now, we can assume that this girl, when the Syrians would go into the Israel and do these raids, they probably killed people. Most times when there was war and there was those kinds of things going on, there was death and there was blood that was shed. Most likely this maid's family was killed. We don't know by the scripture, but we assume that her family was killed and she was taken a slave girl. Even if her parents were not killed and her family was still living, she still was yanked from them and taken to another country and another household and served strangers. But it says she waited on Naaman's wife. She was a servant girl. But in this experience, she had a lot of grief, a lot of pain and disappointment. But she apparently has some very positive character traits. One of the ones I want to bring out is honesty. This proud Naaman, to actually pay attention to this little maid in his household, making a statement like she did in verse 3, to actually pay attention to what she had to say. I believe she was a young lady of honesty. That when she spoke, they knew that she was speaking the truth. That when she spoke, they knew that she was being transparent. She was honest in the household work. She was just her words expressed honesty. I believe she was trusting and dependable. Just think about this. These Syrians, by Naaman's command, would go into Israel and do these raids, take merchandise with them, take slaves back with them. And here this slave girl was telling Naaman to go back to where they do the raids and ask for healing. The very place that they were taking and raiding. But this girl, I believe, was trustworthy and dependable, that they could trust that she was not somehow having a conspiracy that somehow it would be damage to Naaman. But it actually was for his good and for his health. I believe she was trusting and dependable. Trusted her word to actually go to great lengths to pursue help and healing. She must have been diligent in her realm of responsibility. She was not a slacker. She had built trust and confidence. And I believe she was mature in the situation that she was in. I don't know her age. She says a little maid. We assume that she was young, probably very young. But she had spiritual perception. She actually remembered the Elisha the prophet. She had that memory. She knew Elisha. I believe she probably knew him as a faithful prophet with her people. But now the most remarkable character trait was her ability to forgive and to love somebody that hurt her so badly. Naaman was the captain of the army that authorized these raids, authorized death, authorized bloodshed, and authorized taking this slave girl, yanking her from her family, and putting her in his household. But she chose to forgive and to love to the extent that she offered him to go back to her people and meet the prophet and be healed. Naaman was a leper. Just think about that. If somebody would have killed your parents and took you captive as a slave, and your captor got sick, would you suggest a place for healing? Or would you think that, well, it's probably what he deserves? Would we choose to help or to hurt? She could have chosen to be disconnected and say, you know what, this isn't really my responsibility. Who cares if Naaman has leprosy? I'm just here a slave. I mean, look what they did to my family. Who cares? She could have said, I'm out of this. But no, in verse 3 she says, I'm offering you. And she had confidence that Elisha, the prophet of God, could bring healing on this proud military officer. Love motivated her to give a suggestion that God would be glorified. Now, I want to look at this aspect of love and forgiveness a little bit deeper. You know, she had to make that choice to forgive rather than to harbor resentment. I don't think she had those feelings, those fuzzy, warm feelings to forgive this Naaman, but she chose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. You know, and sometimes we say, well, we choose to forgive because Christ has forgiven us. And that is very doctrinal. That's true. But who was her example? She didn't have Jesus. She had the prophet Elisha that was extremely mistreated, disrespected, and she could witness how he responded to those. But she made that choice to forgive and offer Naaman the opportunity to go back to the prophet and be healed. The next one I have, number two, for forgiveness does not mean we approve. You know, with her offering Naaman healing, it doesn't mean that she approved of what he was up to. It wasn't that she approved of his behavior. But it's because she forgave and because she loved. And sometimes we get hung up on that. Sometimes we feel like, well, the only way I can forgive is somehow I can approve of what this person has done. No, that's not the pattern. That's not the example. We can forgive even if we don't approve, just like this little maid did. Forgiveness also means to release on a personal level. She didn't need to prove that she was wronged. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. She had to give release on a personal level and accept what her lot of life was. Forgiveness brings a change in perspective, not necessarily a change in the situation. I don't think that she thought through this process that if somehow Naaman would get healed, that maybe she'll get released back to her people. I don't think that ever crossed her mind. We don't read that of that nature at all. She just was looking out for Naaman. She realized how leprosy and how difficult it was to live with leprosy. And so her, from her, forgiveness is that it may not change our situation. It may not change our present experience, but it's still right to forgive. This was an opportunity for God to be lifted up. An opportunity for God to be exalted. Forgiveness does not mean we live in denial. I believe her pillow probably was wet with tears at times. I think she was a normal little girl. She missed her family. She missed her parents. Missed her brothers and sisters if she had some. And I believe her pillow was wet at times. I believe there was some sad disappointments that some days that she maybe didn't feel so good because of her situation. She had feelings to work through. But you know, she not only had feelings of resentment, but if there was death, she also had grief to work through. I mean, you think about that. You know, there's one thing about life and you can have situations take place that you struggle with resentment, but grief is another perspective. When there's a death and when there's a loss and there's grief, so she had grief to work through. Forgiveness does not mean that we live in denial. I don't think she was denying the fact of her situation. And forgiveness requires faith. The very fact in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She spoke with authority. She spoke with faith. And forgiveness requires faith. The fact that she mentions God causes me to believe that she was a young girl of faith. She believed in God. She had faith that God's purposes were much greater and more superior than her desire for her freedom or an easier life. I believe that through this whole experience, she could see that God was at work. Even though she was in a foreign country working for Naaman's wife, away from her family, faith helped her realize that God's purposes are far greater than her comprehension. You know, as I thought about this, I mean, just to pause and think about the very fact that this maid, this little maid, being in Syria, actually believed that God would heal Naaman. The wicked, proud, self-sufficient Naaman. He served other gods. He was not a faithful, godly person. Yes, God was using him to deliver Syria, but he still served other gods, which comes out later in the chapter. To think that God would heal Naaman through the prophet Elisha was just outstanding. That this maid had that kind of faith. Forgiveness means we deny ourselves. Pride goes in the face of this principle. If you go to John chapter 12, and we could be looking at a lot of scriptures on forgiveness, but I chose to stick pretty close to this example of the little maid. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Here we see this thing of dying and denying self, you know, just giving up. And I believe this little maid just gave up her life. She quit resisting. She just surrendered and said, okay, I am here. I'm going to serve my master. I'm going to have positive attitudes. I'm going to forgive Naaman. And then when she heard about his leper, she said, you know what? If he would go back to my God and my the prophet in Israel, he could receive healing. She just gave up and she was willing to accept her lot in life. And I see this death experience in her life. You know, self and pride says I need to somehow bring justice. You know, if she wouldn't have died to that selfish desire, she could have hoped that somehow Naaman going back to Israel that he would pay for this what he calls to be upon her. But no, she forgave. She didn't need justice. She could have said, this isn't right, what Naaman did to me, separated me from my family. She could have had some selfish ambitions, but she did not. And I don't get any idea from this chapter that there was hoping that if Naaman would get healed, that she had some benefit out of this. Somehow this would give her some benefit. No, her focus was on God receiving the glory and the honor, and it wasn't that for some self-benefit or self-advantage that if she could get from this experience. Well, the next one I have, forgiveness refocuses from the offender to the Lord. It's in those times that God can do a work in our hearts. And I believe that she no longer focused on Naaman and what he did to her and what he authorized, those raids in Israel. But she focused on what God could do, how God could redeem this situation, how God could bring good out of this situation, and forgiveness refocuses from the offender to what the Lord can do. And I think that's what she did. I don't know what the needs were in this little maid's life. The Bible don't say, but I know she was human. I'm sure she had her needs and her struggles, and God was doing a work in her life as she was serving in that household. And many times God uses situations that we need to exercise forgiveness for our character development. God does that under pressure. When we need to choose forgiveness, when we cannot set the record straight, when we cannot, maybe we don't understand, but we say, okay, I forgive, I let go, I release. God does a work in our hearts and our lives. And I think that's what God was doing in this little maid's life. I know he was. Now, Naaman was healed. I'm going to move on. He was healed in the land of Israel, where he conducted the raids. I mean, just think about that. He went back to Israel and asked for healing. Ben-Hadad, I believe, was the Syrian king. And when this suggestion came up for Naaman to go back, he got authorization from the Syrian king to go back to Israel. Now, I don't know what all this did to Syria's relationship with Israel. We read a little further that there was, I don't know if the Bible is all in chronological order or not, but we do read that there was some further raids in Israel. Forget where that was. I read that. But if you go to chapter 6, verse 8 through 14, it says, "And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" And we have how every time Israel knew where the Syrians were going to be, it would foul their plan and their scheme. And the Syrian king got angry about that, and he said, "Well, there's a prophet. There's Elisha. There's a prophet in Israel." And so you can read that story. Okay, here in verse 23, it says, "So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." Now, I believe that this thing of Naaman getting healed and this connection that the Syrian king had with Elisha, it goes into chapter 6, and I think it all has to do with that relationship and them choosing to no longer have raids in Israel. As they got to know Elisha the prophet and how what he did for Naaman and what he did for following their plans for raiding Israel and so on. And there was a work going on in Syria. And Naaman, it says that Naaman wanted to worship the one and only true God. And he actually asked if he could bring some dirt, some actual dirt from Israel and set up a place where he could offer sacrifices. Because he felt like the dirt, he needed that Israel's, that holy land to make have a blessing on his sacrifice. So there was a work that was going on in Naaman's life and also in the Syrian camp due to this little girl, this little maid, suggesting that Naaman goes back and gets healing from the very people that they were getting merchandise off of because of this little girl being usable in her captor's household. Where she could have said, "Well, who am I? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to make any suggestion." But because she did that, there was a work going on in Syria. Just to contrast a little bit, this little maid in Gehazi. This little maid, we don't know her name, but we can see her character. She had forgiveness. She knew what it was to forgive and to release and let go. Gehazi was greedy. He had a greedy heart. He saw an opportunity to get some benefit. The little maid, I don't think it even crossed her mind to get opportunity to get some benefit from having Naaman healed. This little maid had a testimony of God's work through Elisha. When she spoke in verse 3 about Elisha, she had confidence that God was doing a work in Elisha. You know what Gehazi said about Elisha? He lied about him. He said, "He sent me." It was a lie. It wasn't true at all. The little maid had a free conscience in being creative in her service. You know, I think as she served with that in that household, Naaman's worked alongside of Naaman's wife, She was creative because she had a free conscience. And when she heard about that leprosy, she thought about the prophet, a creative mind, a creative atmosphere, creative, just being available to be a blessing. Gehazi was deceitful and guilty. When he came back and he stood before Elisha, he wanted to act like, here I am, what can I do to serve you? Elisha says, where were you? Well, I haven't been hither. Oh, yes, you were. That wasn't the little maid. She was there. She stood before the Naaman's wife and she said, here I am, I can serve. She had a free conscience. She wasn't guilty. Gehazi was guilty and deceitful. Because of this little maid, Naaman received healing from the Lord through Elisha. You know, that must have blessed her heart. I mean, I could just see her rejoicing. Naaman coming back and his skin was like a baby, like a little child. That must have just made her so happy. Because she was free. Because she was had no bitterness and resentment. What was Gehazi's experience? Disease. Leprosy. The little maid had greater service when Naaman came back. I believe that he was just a little bit more kinder to her. Just a little bit more of a blessing to her. I believe he really was. What happened to Gehazi? Hindered service. There was restrictions. You know, when you were a leper, you couldn't serve. You couldn't be faithful like you really wanted to be. There was restriction. The little maid, because of her character and her faithfulness, I believe her people had a better future. Syria quit doing those raids. They get all tied together. What was Gehazi's future? Disease and isolation for his family. Two different ways of life. You could put in bitterness versus forgiveness. In this sense, Gehazi, I believe, is greedy. So if we choose not to forgive, we will be diseased. Our families will be diseased many, many times. You go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Don't be discouraged this morning. You may face some hard things in life. I don't think any of us have faced what this little maid faced. But we do face difficult things. And he says, lift up your hands which hang down on your feeble knees. Don't be discouraged with the hard things of life. Step up and forgive and release. Let go. Verse 13, he says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He says, you know, provide a straight way for yourself and also for those that are following. Remember, every one of us have somebody following us. Just like Elisha. I don't know if Elisha knew this little maid or not, but this little maid knew Elisha. She knew his character. You know, sometimes we don't know the people that are following us. We don't know the people that we're influencing, but they know us. He says, make the straight paths for yourself and also for those that are following you, that you be turned out of the way. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Choose peace above conflict. Forgiveness always results in peace. It always does. Holiness is required to see God. He brings that out. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It says verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know what? Brothers and sisters, God wants to give us grace. Just like I believe that God gave grace for that little maid in Syria. God wants to give us grace, but you know, we restrict the grace of God when we choose not to forgive. When we choose to harbor that bitterness, or we choose to continue rethinking about the hardship or the mistreatment or whatever situation you may be in. God's grace makes a way. He makes a way for us back to God, and it's a sustainable way. It's a way that we can stay on that road. We don't have to fall by the wayside like he talks about here. He says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. There's healing when we forgive and when we release. You know, this morning, if we do not forgive, if we do not, and we hold bitterness and we feel like we need to set the record straight, we will lose our way. And we actually will sell out to earthly pleasures. Just a little bit like Gehazi. You know, he got his eyes off of the Lord. He got his eyes off of what God did in behalf of Naaman. And he starts seeing those earthly riches. And people will do that. They will hold to that bitterness. They will hold to that greediness. They will hold to that lust and that desire. And they'll sell out to pursue those things. And we become short-sighted. And we have no eternal perspective. Just like here he talks about Esau, that profane person who sold his birthright. He was a time. It was right now that he needed that morsel of meat, and he sold his birthright. You know, it's possible for us to sell our right to eternal life, all because we choose to nurse bitterness. God forbid that would be our case. When we have so much opportunity to be faithful and to bring glory to God, just like that little maid did in 2 Kings 5. May God bless you. She didn't have a name, but she had a character. We don't need to know her name. We just need to know her character. We need to understand her experience. And through Jesus Christ that we can have that. You know, you think about the Old Testament versus the New Testament and the superiority of the New Testament of Jesus Christ and the example that he gave us. And the Holy Spirit that he gives into our lives. We have no excuse. We need to be a people that forgive and release and let go and have a testimony for those that are following us. An example. May God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.